It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, and welcome back to the Cannon Cast, a Columbus Blue Jackets podcast brought to you by the Cannon at jacketscannon.com. I am your host, Petey, and I am joined this week by Dale Bloom. Dale, how's it going?
It's going well. I mean, it's a great time to be a Jackets fan, but other than that, things are good.
Yeah, the Jackets are doing Blue Jackets things. We have stuff to talk about today involving David Yurecek and, you know, more stuff about Yarmo and his handling of the team. We will also talk a little bit about the All-Star game that is coming up this weekend with Boone Jenner being the Blue Jackets representative. But first, we have some, you know, Jackets news to cover. First of all, they are in the midst of a West Coast road trip leading into the All-Star break. They lost a game in Edmonton that was actually pretty close for 40 minutes, but, you know, fell apart in the end. They won a game in Calgary where they didn't play particularly well, but they finally got some bounces. They played pretty well against a really good Vancouver team and then blew a third period lead again, lost in overtime again. And then a game against Seattle where they didn't seem to remember they were playing until the third period. And Chinnikov scored a couple goals, but the penalty kill did us in again in both Vancouver and Seattle. So not a great road trip. On Tuesday night, they play in St. Louis and then get a much deserved, 11-day break or whatever. So in the meantime, unfortunately, I wanted this team to at least get through the trip healthy. That has not happened. Patrick Laine is entering the player assistance program. He was still recovering from a clavicle injury, but obviously there are other issues going on, and so he needs to take some time for himself to get his head right. We wish the best of him there. Adam Boqvist got hurt again, got struck by a puck while sitting on the bench, so he needs to change his number from 27 because this keeps happening. When I type in Adam Boqvist in Google, like the first autocomplete is injury. And then finally, Adam Fantilli took a skate blade to the back of his leg against Seattle. Still not sure what exactly the extent of the injury is. He is questionable for the St. Louis game. I would expect that he probably doesn't play that one, but hopefully after the break, he will be recovered enough. Dale, any thoughts on those absences or on the road trip so far?
Yeah, so I think there is a little bit of an update on Fantilli this evening as of Monday evening. He's not going to play against the Blues, and then he's going to be further evaluated when they get back to Columbus. The thought is that there is no damage to the Achilles, but it doesn't sound like they are 100% sure about that. So that's kind of where that stands. You know, the whole Laine situation, that's really unfortunate, but, you know, you're always happy to see a player that's willing to take a step back and actually address whatever issues are going on there. And I think it's important to note that, as several others have today, that just because a player is entering that program doesn't mean that it's substance abuse or anything like that. So we have no reason to believe that it's anything of that sort, but all the well wishes to him. The road trip in general, PD, you know, 1-3-1 is not great. They played well for stretches, but the frustrating part is that we just keep seeing the same mistakes over and over with this team. And they've been playing okay hockey over the last month or so. Since Boone Jenner went down December 8th, something like that, the team was playing about 500 hockey. They're actually 1 point under 500 for that time. So they've definitely taken a big step back over the last week. And they get one win, but man, that loss in Vancouver was tough to watch.
Yeah. And that was one where I'd been out that night. And so I had missed a lot of it and turned it on for the start of the third period, and they scored two power play goals. I'm like, okay, nope, I'm done. Sorry about that. And it was, again, very, very predictable. And then the Seattle game, I had an interaction with Brian Hedger on Twitter where, he was pointing out that, fatigue would be a factor, that, the Jackets were playing the second night of a back-to-back. They were on this road trip. Seattle had been at home for a while. They were rested. And this was after the Jackets were down, 3-0 after the first period. And I pointed out that, like, okay, yeah, fatigue can be a thing, except that what we were seeing were the same issues we've often seen. So fatigue doesn't cut it for me as an explanation there. It's like, and all of the blown leads. So I think it's been 13 games now that we've lost where we had a third period lead. And this team has 15 wins on the season. Like, that the record could be radically different. And like, I get that this is a young team and they're learning and stuff, or at least, I mean, they should be learning, but we're almost 50 games into the season. Like, we should be seeing progress in this regard. They shouldn't be doing the same stuff. And that is what is so frustrating. It's just, this team could be so much better than they are with what they have. And the pieces just aren't there. And it's like, there's some guys that are doing their part and are playing well enough, but there are others that are just not holding up their end of the bargain. And unfortunately, the ones that are doing well are the ones that I want to see playing a lot. The ones that are not playing well are the ones that aren't part of the future, and I kind of like to see them be part of the past sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think that's a point that I've made a couple times, is that we're seeing individual growth with several guys. Chinnikov has been
there's been times
this season where he has just been unbelievable. And of course, Marchenko, he had a good season last year, but he's still playing well, even though he's had a couple of dry stretches this season. We've seen Fantilli grow. Sillinger is playing so much better. But this team, for whatever reason, they don't play as a unit. They don't play as a cohesive group. One of the things that bugged me the most about this road trip was that game against Calgary. So you play a team like Calgary that has Anderson. Right, Anderson took a cheap shot at Laine last time these two teams played, gave him a concussion, just a dirty hit with, 3 seconds left in the game?
Right.
And they come out, and I'm not saying that somebody needs to come out and try and take Anderson's head off, or, be dirty back, right? But you would have liked somebody to step up and let Anderson know that they hadn't forgotten that it's not going to happen again. And you didn't see any of that. There was absolutely none of that. Patrick Laine is sitting up in the press box, presumably, and is not seeing his team, try and, make up for it is a bad way to put it, because that's not what I mean. But you would have liked to see them respond. And then you walk into Vancouver, and that team was just throwing the Jackets around left and right physically. Another 5-minute major in that game. And these guys just don't seem to stick up with each other. A lot of the goals that you see, I would say they're mostly individual effort goals, scoring off the rush, scoring goals off turnovers. You're not seeing a lot of cycle time in the offensive zone. You're not seeing a lot of goals that are a result of, good teamwork, passing it around. And it's frustrating to watch because it doesn't seem like they're making much progress in that aspect.
Well, and that's why the power play continues to struggle, because there's no cohesion on the power play as well. There's no plan there. They just kind of pass the puck around, but there's no goal for how they're attacking the net or anything like that. They're like waiting for the perfect shot, but there's no, how are they working together to, you know, test the penalty kill, get them out of position, anything like that. They're not doing nearly enough of that. And that is really, really frustrating. And yeah, and even as good as Chinnikov has been, like, his goals against Seattle were ones that, you know, he largely created himself. You know, the second one was really impressive. There's a faceoff just outside the offensive zone, which Boone Jenner, you know, like, won the faceoff, the puck went into the zone, and then Chinnikov just went and got to the puck and, you know, got through two defenders and then just skated the puck right up to the net and, you know, did a little backhand shot and got it in. It was basically all Chinnikov, which it's great. We love to see that. I love wanting to keep doing that, but it's also like, we can't just score that way. We can't just wait on Chinnikov. And really the whole game it was such a slog to watch that one and think about how to recap it, because so little was happening until those two Chinnikov goals, but he was really the only one that was getting anything going in that game. All right. So the other disheartening news to talk about this weekend, in Aaron Portsline's Sunday Gathering column at The Athletic, he wrote about the David Juracek situation. Juracek has barely played in the NHL over the last month. Lots of games where he's been a healthy scratch in favor of Andrew Peak, who sucks. Let's just be honest about it. Peak is not good. Juracek is certainly not perfect. He's still growing as a player, but is better than Peak. I'd also say he's probably better than Gudbranson, better than Bean. Certainly should be playing at the NHL level. Prior to the road trip, he was sent down to Cleveland to play a pair of weekend games and then was called back up, traveled with the team to Edmonton, was scratched again. And then in the Calgary game, Werenski was finally activated from the injured list, and Juracek was sent down to make room for him. So he is back in Cleveland. He is not happy about it. If you'll recall, back in the fall, Jarmo at one point told Juracek that he could look for an apartment in Columbus because he was going to be staying in Columbus. And then a week later, he was sent down to Cleveland for a game again as part of some roster maneuvering. And here that can, you know, sent down now twice in January, and, you know, probably will, I guess, will be with the Monsters until, you know, the Jackets start playing again. And who knows what the plan is there, but, you know, clearly with that conversation in October or whatever, after having played 10 games, so his, you know, ELC kicks in, like, there should have been the understanding that he was a Blue Jacket for the rest of the season. And yet here he's getting sent down. He's spending multiple games in a row in the press box. Like, I could even understand if you want to give him a game or so off here and there, let him, you know, sort of get a different perspective on things, you know, rest up a little bit, because he's still, you know, a young guy. But, like, come on. Like, this is unfair to jerk him around. And this is just another example, like we talked about last time. It seems like there's not great communication in terms of between management and the player. The coach is not using the player correctly. And also statements from Vincent and Jarmo that don't hold water in terms of Juracek somehow not being good enough, when we can see with our own eyes and with looking at the stats that he is a NHL level defenseman on this roster. His, you know, shots against numbers, his goals against numbers are very favorable with the rest of the defensemen on this roster. And yet somehow for Vincent and Jarmo, he's not good enough and he needs to be better, but they're not holding Andrew Peak, Eric Branson, guys like that, to the same standards. And the rest of the hockey world is noticing. Just today, just on Monday, there have been podcasts from Daily Faceoff, 32 Thoughts, The Athletic, Steve Dangle podcast, all of which have been talking about the Blue Jacket situation and not talking about it in a favorable way. anytime anyone in the national media has talked about the Blue Jackets, normally we're pretty forgettable because we're a bad team. But when we get talked about, it is for bad reasons. And everyone is noticing this dysfunction. And people are starting to question, how does Yarmouth still have a job? And so my question then too is, where is John P. McConnell? Like, does he realize that this is what people around the league are saying about his team? This, his franchise, this is his father's legacy. This is something he owns. It is a laughingstock. It is embarrassing. And does he care? And is he going to do anything about it?
So to me, that was the biggest takeaway from all of this, because I don't think anybody's surprised that Yerchek is upset. Anybody that follows this team. And it's certainly, you know, it's certainly believable that he comes out and says, hey, why am I not playing? So that wasn't the big surprise of the day. Maybe it was slight surprise that he just kind of came out and was willing to give those quotes. But to me, the national attention, you know, you mentioned all the podcasts that it was mentioned on today. Most of those, it wasn't even just a story. It was the lead story that they all led with. Friedman was a little bit nicer on 32 Thoughts. You know, he didn't have anything negative to say about the team in general, but he did say that he was impressed with Yerchek. He said that Yerchek didn't sound like he was whining, and that Friedman had no problems with him coming out and saying these things. He said that that Yerchek was told by the team that there was a spot for him in the NHL this season. And when they told him to get a place, it's understood that he's going to stay. And, you know, they reneged on that not once, but twice. But listening to some other of the podcasts, Frank Saravalli did not have nice things to say about the Blue Jackets. He said, and I quote, "This is a delusional Columbus Blue Jackets franchise in front office." There's been a lot of questioning as to why Yarmouth still has a job. And I think it's important to remind people that we're only, 2 weeks removed from everything that happened with Elvis. And there was a lot of the same messaging around that, and the same disconnect between the GM and the coach. And it's hard to take anybody's word at face value right now. Aaron Portzline has mentioned several times that Yarmouth keeps insisting that Vincent is in 100% control of the nightly lineups. If that's true, I have serious questions about why Andrew Peak is playing over Yerchek. And it would be more believable if Yarmouth was pulling the strings and wanting Peak to get ice time to, you know, try and get somebody to bite on a trade, you know, just trying to ice the guy that he signed to a big contract. That would make a lot more sense. But that comes on the back of the comments from about Elvis, where Yarmo said, "You need to be better." And Elvis is like, "I'm the best goalie on the team. Why are you telling me? And you're going to sit me?" So it's the same thing in back-to-back kind of scenarios, just 2 weeks apart. And, you know, we've talked about the other players. We talked about how KJ was upset at the beginning of the year. We talked about Chinakov, who was upset at the beginning of the year. It's not a good look all around, but you're exactly right. The media attention is really starting to ramp up, and it's not a good look for this franchise right now.
And I don't like the players airing this out in the media. And that's not necessarily me blaming the players, but like, I also don't think that these guys, players just like woke up, decided I'm upset and I'm going to talk to the media about it. I'd have to think it's, they've had these conversations. They're not happy about it. And they feel like they're not being heard. And so the last resort is talking, you know, is Elvis meeting with the media after practice, or Yerchek talking to Portzline while Portzline's in Cleveland watching the Monsters. Like, these guys need this platform because they feel like they've got no other choice. And that's a bad sign for the organization. These kind of disagreements need to be kept in-house, you know, and resolved in-house. It looks very bad to air this dirty laundry. And again, this speaks to a lack of leadership from the top down. Because again, if I were owner of this team, I would not be happy about the stuff getting out. I would want to be resolving this in-house before anything of this became an issue. You know, I don't even want this to be a get to a conflict level between the GM and the player. Like, I want to nip this in the bud. But, you know, if the owner's not around, if he's not aware what's going on in the organization, you know, of course, I think of also fire owner, I'd be like, why are you playing Andrew Peak? Or why am I paying Andrew Peak? You know, but like, you can't, there's, again, such a disconnect and so much conflict. And you can't have success in this environment because you have to be on the same page. And like you said, GM and ownership aren't on the same page. And GM and the coach aren't on the same page. The coach and the players aren't. The players don't seem to be on the same page with each other necessarily, which some of that I think goes back to coaching. It's just none of this works.
Yeah, and you know, Frank Saravalli on the Daily Faceoff today was also talking about how there seems to be a lack of plan in general. You know, not to rehash it, but you know, the bringing on Severson, trading for Provorov, and then trying to develop the young guys, but then not giving them the ice time, leaning on the vets, trying to win, but losing. You know, there's been a little bit of an issue with Cole Perfetti in Montreal, and you know, kind of the similar complaints about ice time and opportunities, and the point made was that if you're on a team that's winning, you can't complain, right? But you're sitting in the press box every night watching your team lose, watching, you know, Andrew Peak blow coverage and you know, give up multiple goals in a game, watching the power play stink. You know, there were, I believe, wasn't there a point where Werenski, Boqvist, and Sigurdsson were all hurt at the same time? And
that sounds right, yeah.
And you have Ivan Provorov and Jake Bean leading the power play. And you have David Juracek, who was really good on the power play in the AHL, and the guy doesn't get a shot, right? So if you have a healthy Zach Werenski, a healthy Boqvist, a healthy Provorov, a healthy Severson, you can understand a 19-year-old or 20-year-old saying, or saying to him, you know, you don't have any right to complain because we have all these guys. But when they're all hurt, you know, why is he not getting an opportunity? It's just, that's so strange all around.
And on the other hand, for a young player, if you're wanting to bring them along slowly, build up their confidence, the power play is the perfect time to give them ice time. That is the ultimate in sheltered minutes. This is the perfect situation to have success. And if you're giving him those minutes, then you're not having to give them to a guy like Provorov, who is also on your top PK unit and gets a lot of 5-on-5 minutes. Like, you can keep these guys fresh. I mean, I remember there was that game where Werenski got hurt again, and you had four guys then on defense that had 20 plus minutes in that game, and Juracek had like 15. And it's like, what? Why is he playing now? I mean, because he had started the game as Werenski's partner, but like, work him in more often than that. Like, he's good enough, he can handle it.
Yeah, and then you know, another point that I really liked that Aaron Portzine brought up was the Edmonton game. And this isn't ear check related, but just in general, you have your budding future 1C. He doesn't take one face off in that game. He doesn't line up across from Connor McDavid and get the experience of getting face offs from him, from matching up against him. This is a lost season. Why aren't you taking advantage of these situations? And you don't have to lean on these guys, these young guys, and play them 20 minutes a night, but at least give them a taste of what these situations are like. Let them get their feet wet. Let them know so that next season when they head into these situations that they know what to expect. Next time these guys are putting in these situations is going to be the first time. And if you're going to want to have a better team next year, then you don't want it to be the first time. And that's just what we keep running into over and over with this current coaching staff and this management.
Yeah, and I think because this is a lost season at this point and that we need to be looking towards the future and development, I think you need to be thinking about like 2026. Who is on the roster in 2026 and in what role? And a good result from this season is we're actually getting some answers, especially at the most important position, center. Fantilli looks legitimate. Voronkov has been, I think, even better than advertised. Cole Sillinger has his career back on track. Again, is he going to be a 1C type? No. Do we need him to be a 1C type? No, we don't. We've got Fantilli. But like Cole Sillinger is a middle six guy? Like, yeah, legit. And so it's like, I think we should be playing those three guys as our top three centers. And then, you know, Corrali is a very solid fourth line guy. And then like, okay, well, what do you do with Boone Jenner? Well, you know, you fit him in elsewhere, but you know, he's a guy that has played pretty much every role as a forward in his decade on the team. I don't think he's going to have an issue with that necessarily. I don't think his ego is that fragile, you know? And this leads though into, you know, our sort of last topic that I wanted to cover, which is that the All-Star game is this weekend. Each team has at least one representative. Ours, kind of surprisingly, is Boone Jenner. And we haven't talked about it yet on the podcast, so how do we feel about that?
I guess I'll start off with a question. Do we have any idea? I don't think we do. Do we have any idea how these choices are made? Because, and you know, we talked about this at the time, not on this podcast, but you know, in other avenues. I have serious doubts that the front office wasn't involved in this choice, right? If you've got three guys that, you know, let's say you have Marchenko, Fantilli, Jenner, these guys are all playing well. Marchenko, when the announcement was made, actually had more goals than Jenner. Or had the same amount of goals, more points.
Same, yeah.
Either way. So phone rings, Yarmo picks up the phone. Hey Yarmo, here are your choices for All-Star game. We can't figure out who we want to send. What's your opinion? Who's Yarmo going to say?
Yeah, it feels like that. Although I think I saw something that, like, it was maybe a thing from Yarmo that was like, well, if we had a choice, we would have picked Boone or something like that. So I don't know if he was asked, but it definitely does feel like a choice that the front office would have made. And like I can see some merits in it. Like he's the leader of the team. He's an Ontario guy and the game is in Toronto. You know, he's been productive for, you know, the last 2.5 seasons, like consistently producing at like a 30 goal pace. That's pretty good. Like he's worked really hard. He's been productive. So, you know, in some ways he has earned it, but is it like the most exciting pick? Is it on par with, you know, who other teams' representatives are? No, I don't think it is. Fantilli, I think, would have been interesting just because, you know, like Connor Bedard made it as well. So I think you need to get started. Maybe, you know, Connor Bedard versus Adam Fantilli kind of thing from this draft class, you know, or, you know, Marchenko, I think would have been awesome for just, you know, he's got such a magnetic personality that I feel like the rest of the league, they need to know who he is, because I think he's a really fun player, you know, and someone who has more come on, you know, since the roster started getting filled out. But Yegor Chinnikov, you know, with and like, I know that I'll get into here a little bit what the skill competition is, but, you know, under an old format, like, how cool would it be to see Chinnikov in the hardest shot competition? I mean, considering this guy can fire like a 90 mile per hour wrister, like, I want to see him against the league's best and stuff like that, you know, like if an event like that, especially, you know, where it's a 3-on-3 game and Chinnikov is really good at 3-on-3, like, whereas like Boone, and as good as he is, he's a 5-on-5 kind of player. So in a 3-on-3 game against all-star type talent, he's not going to have as much of an impact there. And of course he's still not 100% from his injury. You know, even Jody Shelley has mentioned a lot how he feels like the plastic bubble that he's wearing on his helmet in place of the visor is affecting his vision. You know, he doesn't have as much peripheral vision as usually does. He can't see as well down at his feet, you know, when his head's up. So, yeah, it's just not going to be as great of a showcase for Jenner maybe as it should be. It's not necessarily the right way to showcase him. So, yeah, it feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, and that's ultimately kind of where I stand on it, too. Does Boone deserve to go? Sure, he does. He's been a great player for this team. He's been one of the best players this season. And he is a sneaky good goal scorer. But to me, it's a missed opportunity as far as marketing this team, what this team is going to be in the future, getting people's attention towards the team. I think about that nasty between the legs goal that Marchenko scored on the power play. And to me, those are the kinds of things that you want to be highlighting. You want to be highlighting your skilled players. But, you know, congratulations to Boone, and he'll be a great representative for the city and the team.
Yeah, so the All-Star Weekend coming up, there's a lot of fun things there. There's going to be a 3-on-3 PWHL All-Star game at one point during the weekend, which I've been enjoying watching some of the women's hockey this season. That's been a really fun league. They're bringing back the player draft. The last time we had an All-Star draft in the NHL was the game in Columbus in 2015. Hopefully there's as much alcohol flowing this time as there was then, which I think made the league a little uncomfortable, but it makes it entertaining. They have celebrity co-captains, which should make it fun. Let me see. I've got that here. Austin Matthews is going to have Justin Bieber, who also designed the jerseys, which look like something from a 1990s Nickelodeon show. And I don't mean that as a compliment. Connor McDavid has Will Arnett. So I think that kind of balances out to like a neutral personality. Team Hughes, so that's both Jack and Quinn Hughes, sharing captaincy with Michael Bublé, who's a big Canucks fan. And then Nathan MacKinnon has Tate McRae. Now, Dale, have you heard of Tate McRae?
I can honestly say I have never heard one note of her sing in my whole entire life.
So I have not actually listened to her sing yet, but so I first became aware of her at the end of the summer when she came out with a song and a music video, which, again, I still have not like listened to or watched yet. But it's a diss track about an ex-boyfriend, and the video was filmed at a hockey rink. Her ex-boyfriend is Cole Sillinger. And her career has been blowing up this year. She was on SNL in the fall. So now she's featured at the All-Star game, but she has an NHL ex-boyfriend. And Cole, buddy, if you're going to have an ugly breakup, don't do it with a musician. Talk to any of Taylor Swift's ex-boyfriends. Like, it's not going to go well for you, buddy.
It's really too bad that he didn't make the All-Star game.
Oh, but, I kind of want to see what happens if T. McKinnon drafts Boone Jenner. That could be interesting. I'm just saying. But what I'm really looking forward to, though, is the skills competition. So they're doing it a little differently this year, where it's only going to be 12 players competing. Each will compete in 4 out of 6 events, 8 guys competing in each of those events, and they'll be collecting points. And at the end of it, the winner will get $1 million, and only the winner gets anything. And I'm excited to see if this is enough to sort of add some juice back to the competition. It sounds like the players are into it. And I love that, like, unlike the other leagues where some of the stars tend to like skip these events, apparently this was something that like Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid went to the league after like last year in Florida. I'm like, this event kind of sucks. Like, if it's going to be worth our while, we need to change some things. But, like, listen to this lineup. David Pasternak, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Jack Hughes, Nikita Kucherov, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Quinn Hughes, JT Miller, and Elias Pettersson. I mean, JT Miller is the obvious one that kind of doesn't fit there. I mean, he's having a great season. He's worthy All-Star. And I think that means he's going to win this because he's the least likely. But, like, that's the best of the best of the league. and they're going to be doing fastest skater, hardest shot, stick handling, one-timers, passing challenge, accuracy shooting. That is going to be so freaking cool, right?
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I've always been a fan of the skills competitions, and this is going to be awesome. I'm excited about it. My son loves the All-Star game. He loves the skills competition. So, that'll be exciting. One of my favorite things is actually getting to see the personalities. You know, I think that it's one of the rare opportunities in the NHL to see the personality of these guys. Because, you know, a lot of times they don't show it in interviews. You don't get to see behind the scenes looks a lot. So that's one of the fun things for me, is getting to see them to, you know, goof around on the ice and have fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some of these guys, I feel like, don't have much personality, even if they're allowed to let loose, but I would love to see maybe them get a little bit more of that. I'd like to see if there's some competitive juices flowing during this, and if the guys are mic'd up and maybe get some smack talk going, like that could be really, really interesting, really compelling, and a good showcase for the league. And also just showing these guys are super skilled and the stuff they're going to be able to do with the puck and with their skating. I guess my only complaint is I have liked in the past where on the skills competition night, they do find a way for every player to compete in at least one event. So you had, like, you know, last year, Johnny Gaudreau did the golf thing, which was kind of cool. And then, you know, 2 years ago, Zach Werenski won an accuracy shooting thing that was like on a platform in the Bellagio fountain. That was really cool. So I kind of missed, like, okay, Boone's not going to be part of the skills competition, but given who is competing, like, okay, that's still worth tuning in for, I think.
Yeah. And it's fun to also think that if they kind of continue this, wouldn't it be great to see somebody like Kent Johnson or Adam Fantilli, you know, competing in something like that in the future.
Yeah. Again, we've got no shortage of guys that are super skilled, and hopefully if the teams gets better next season that the league can take notice and, like, yeah, we've got some guys that are worth paying attention to. And which, again, I think is my biggest disappointment, not just the team underperforming, but, like, we do have guys that are good and are playing well, but it's for nothing. Like Chinnikov last night, great effort, but did it produce a win? No, because he can't do it all himself. And that part is frustrating. All right. Well, that will do it for us this week. Thanks for listening. Again, we've got one more game here before the break. We've got the All-Star coming up this weekend. We will have some coverage on the site of that, and we will still have content going up during the bye week. We'll still have lots of stuff to talk about, sort of recapping the season to date, taking a look at the prospects that are playing, you know, in Cleveland and elsewhere around the world, and see how they're doing this season so far. So plenty of stuff still going up there on jacketscanon.com. So continue to check out our stuff there. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
For more content from The Cannon, check out jacketscannon.com or follow us on Twitter at CBJCannon. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. Our theme music is the song Green Eyes by Angela Pearley and the Howlin' Moons. Angela's new album, Turn Me Loose, is out now. Go to angelapearley.com for more music and show dates.